with Ryan Reese from Southern California. This is Live with Ryan Reese. Post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
All right, it's going down tonight, this Saturday night. I got Christ the Farai in the house, Mark, the lead singer. And wait, okay, I just met you like seriously like seconds ago. What was your name again?
Marcus.
Marcus. Oh, that's
he's
right.
A drummer.
Marcus, the drummer.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And products.
And
He's a little merch guy.
Merch guy, a little bit of everything. We all do a lot of different things. Oh, I got the CD right here. Look, check it out. Bang, bang. Go pick it up.
That's from 2009, 10 years ago.
But you guys got all kinds of
albums. Oh, yeah. We released two albums a year. But that one specifically, I had to bring to you because there's a song on there called Whosoever.
All right. Scoop that one up. Get this one right here. Get this. Look at how many. How many albums do you guys have?
About 25 or 30 or something like that.
And this is only like six of them.
Yeah. We you know,
that's a
when you're inspired.
Graphic.
That's the cover. That's a wicked cover, huh?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, Dredd just being that zapped by God.
Hearts dope. Of fire. Look at that one. That is hearts a sick one. Just getting dosed with the Holy
getting
Ghost.
Dosed with the Holy Ghost.
Dosed with the Holy Ghost. Oh, just the Holy man. Ghost filling them. Love
Amen.
That.
Amen.
So anyway, I wanted to bring you in because I get emails from you guys of all the rad things you're doing. We talk here and there, and I don't know. It's been a long time. Like, we have the same circles. We've crossed paths, but we've never really actually connected.
Correct.
So this is the connection right here.
Yeah.
We did, on radio.
We played the Whosoever's twice on the Friday night thing.
But I wasn't. I don't even know if I was here.
You weren't there.
I know.
I was like, "Where are the Whosoever's?"
Dude,
I guess I was a Whosoever that day.
During that time when we started connecting by phone or whatever, that's when we just started taking. Like, we were here when we first birthed, but then all of a sudden everyone started taking off and traveling, and God was just doing a shift in the movement at that time. So, and then I guess I was in Philly and you were coming to Philly the next week, too long ago.
We've been doing a bunch of back and forth, just kind
there
of
goes
trying.
Down.
And then your schedule, my schedule, we're in 30 nations in a year. So 12 months we're touring kind of off and on the whole year. So we're two ships passing in the night. We're on our way to Asia. Where are you going?
I'm going to Mexico.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, dude, look, we got an hour.
Yeah.
And you to do a show with you, you probably need like 4 hours. But we're going to get through it. I want to hear about everything that's going on, a highlight reel.
Okay.
Because I want the listeners to know about you guys because you guys are dope. You got banging music.
Yeah.
And you're everywhere. And everywhere. Mm-hmm. All over the country. What'd you say, 30?
30 nations a year, yeah.
So 30 nations a year. How many miles do you have?
Well, I'm almost in the million miler club because I'm starting to be true to one airline.
Finally. I've been true to one airline for the last – since – I've been true to them since 2008.
Yeah.
No, 99.
Yeah.
But then that's where the perks come.
Yeah. So we definitely, my daughter's been on 365 flights. She's 7.5 years old. So that kind of gives
She's flying first class everywhere.
No. I wish.
Because the mileage automatically upgrade you, you know?
Well, yeah, there are the upgrades. Yeah, but it's always on the short little legs when you're like hopping from here to San Francisco and you're like, I don't need to stretch out.
You know, I need
it's
to
when Australia. I'm going to Sao Paulo, Australia, China, you know, but that's when you fly with a different airline and then you're kind of, anyways.
Yeah. But yeah. Dude, it's worth it. So who are you true to right now? Who's your airline?
Who's my American?
Oh, you're doing American.
What are you, United?
I'm United.
Yeah. I repent. Sometime you will repent.
Bro,
no,
you are lost.
You know what? I found that every time I book something, I wish I was on Delta or I wish I was on United.
Really?
Occasionally. Yeah. But yeah. Certainly.
That's so funny. Airlines. Stinking airlines. Okay. So first of all, dude, where in the heck did – before? Wait, hold on. Marcus McClure had something.
I was waiting for it. Okay.
Marcus McClure had some kind of interaction in your life.
So okay. Just going to try and bring it up quick. Okay. Raising the church, straight from the church. At 4.5, I remember praying, inviting Jesus, imagining him a little Luke Skywalker-sized action figure living in my heart.
Yeah.
I think everything was great, peaches and cream. My dad and I didn't have the best relationship growing up. And I think the reason for that is that he and his dad didn't. It was the, you know. My dad's 81 now.
Yeah.
So in the era he was in, the dad came home, drank, you know, smoked a cigarette and said, oh, after work. And that was it.
You guys were going to church? Your family was going to church?
Going to church. Yeah. But he came to Christ late in his life.
Yeah.
And so the modeling that he had of a dad wasn't the strongest. And,
got it.
And it was just kind of, he wasn't a bad dad. But at the same time, I was wishing I could connect a little bit more.
Yeah.
Wishing for those, you know, those big hugs, those big genuine moments where we were like besties.
Yeah.
And that wasn't modeled to him. I have that now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't have that then.
Okay.
And so I started looking up to older people. My brother's 7 years older than me. Now 9 years old, and the neighbors come over and they bring over alcohol, and I want to fit in with the older kids.
Yeah.
And so I drink my first beer. By 10, I'm buying weed from my neighbor. By 13, it's cocaine.
Yeah.
My parents were so straight-laced. They said nope to dope, but they didn't even know what weed smelled like. So they didn't know I was having a plantation in my backyard.
Right.
They didn't know I was growing and that I was dealing. And then it just escalated to crack or meth or opium, a whole lot of LSD. About 100 tabs later, I'm certified legally insane by now. And my parents finally catch on. Then it's send me to this counselor, this NA, this AA, this
CA. How old were you at that
CA,
point?
15, 16. Mm-hmm. I'd decide, forget it. After being grounded for so long, I would just run away from home.
Where'd you grow up?
Palos Verdes Peninsula.
So you, okay,
one
so
of the richest per
right
capita
here.
Cities in America. Yep. I was, you know, in my mind, life is horrible. But I was just a spoiled, you know, a kid who had everything and wanted to whine. And part of it as a kid growing up, I think, is the pushback. You know what's best for you. Like even a little child would be like, no, ice cream is what I need for dinner.
My kid said that the other day. They want ice cream all day long,
you know,
three meals. I'm like, what the
heck? Yeah. Halloween candy every day. And so as a teenager, when you're pushing back with your dad and your mom, and that's what I did. And then my brother, who was he went off to be on a missions trip. He and I used to party together, and then he got sober. He went off on a missions trip, and when he was gone, that was kind of when I just went off the rails. And at that point, I ran away from home, lived on the streets for a summer, and then eventually sleeping on the beach or in an abandoned house with other drug addicts.
In Palos Verdes up there in that area?
Yeah, yeah. So like Torrance Beach, that area.
Yeah.
And living in an abandoned house with a bunch of drug addicts and, you know, people willing to go and sell their mom's TV to get some PCP, that kind of junk.
Drugs, the progression of it gets gnarly. It's so funny because you start like just, like, I'm smoking weed, I'm drinking some beer.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the harder stuff, the coke, and then the crack, that, you know, boom, 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 boom. It just keeps escalating. It's like sin. It's just the progression of it.
I always say I didn't use drugs. Drugs used me.
Yeah.
I didn't abuse drugs. Drugs were abusing me. But it was kind of this, the emperor's new clothes. Everybody, oh, that's, you know, I'm so high. I was really so low.
Yeah.
I remember going to Grateful Dead shows after getting that miracle ticket and being so stinking loaded that I was like, man, I wish I was sober so I could enjoy this.
Oh yeah, so high there, yep.
You know, and mm-hmm. and as I equate it now, the feelings that I was getting was more like being seasick, more like being car sick. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're puking and it's hitting the ceiling, you know there's something wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it just got worse, worse, worse. Eventually, my parents all that time, of course, raising a Christian family, I would have to go to summer camp, winter camp. So for 7 years, I'm going to these camps. At first, it starts off with the, you know, repent at the end and then go back to the same friends. And then it was the bring the eight ball of cocaine up to the Christian camp and go in and snort some lines and come back with a bloody nose during the altar call. It was bad.
Yeah.
And then finally, my parents' last ditch effort said, you know what, we want you to go to this final camp. I was about ready to turn 18. And I was like, heck no, absolutely not. They said, that Hawaii trip you wanted to do, we'll give it to you. And I negotiated and I got a free bodyboard with it. So I was not a professional bodyboarder, but I won some contests.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I could do a camp if I could go to Hawaii, because I always wanted to go to Hawaii. And so my parents said yes. I went, but this time it was like, wait a minute, I got punked. This camp's like way in Northern California, and I couldn't bring my drug friends. I couldn't bring my drugs. And so now I'm surrounded by all these happy, happy, joy Christians. I can't stand their plastic smiles. It was like Ned Flanders and his kids, you know, singing Jesus songs. I didn't like them. I liked reggae. Everything I wore was red, yellow, and green. Got my dreads, got my this, got my that. And then there was this one guy at the camp, and he wasn't associated with it. He had his own little cabin in the middle of it, And I think he was a counselor that was off at the time. And so, long story short, I'm hanging out with the guy, and it turns out he loves reggae. My name's Mark. His name is Marcus. And so we're playing with his pet tarantula. We're listening to Steel Pulse chant to Samba Day. And we're just, you know, it was really cool. And then I started talking. No way, you did cocaine. No way, you got arrested for it by the cops. No way, you were in a gang. No way, all these different things that we had in common. Uh-huh. But then I looked at him, and one day I was like, okay, same past, but different future.
Yeah.
Same history, but different trajectory. And there was a light in his eyes I couldn't explain. And at that moment, I looked at him and said, dude, what's the difference between you and I?
Yeah.
Now, if you
How old was he?
He was 18. I was 17, turning 18. Now, the story I'm telling right now, if you search right now on YouTube, after the show, of course, The Love of Ja, you'll see Marcus acting as me. and Marcus and then Benny Gagliardi, who's one of your videographers, acting as the Marcus and reenacting this whole story.
No way.
The runaway, the everything. Yeah. You got to check it out. So long story short, he just looks at me. I said, what's the difference between you and I? And he looks at me and says, it's the love of God. And it sounds simple, but I still got goosebumps. It's so profound because it reminds me of 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have within, but do so with gentleness and respect. And essentially what I did was I had built up this wall. My parents would meet with this pastor, this youth leader's got to talk to, this psychologist, all these things. And I was like, heck no, nobody's getting in. I know what's best for me.
Right.
And for once, I took down those bricks, and I was willing to receive that.
Yeah.
The next day, I heard a modern-day version of
the
prodigal.
And that's the difference.
Yeah. Yep. Next day, I heard a modern-day version of the prodigal son. This guy went to Vegas, blew it all, snorted it all, screwed it all. He did everything that I had done, pretty much, and he lost it all. And he came home, just like I came home when I ran away from home. And I realized now I need to come home, not just metaphorically, but literally. And I fell to my knees that day. The preacher probably only saw three people come forward, probably thought that was a pretty slow turnout, small turnout, not knowing that that guy would, I mean, in the last 5 years, we've seen 700,000 decisions for Christ. Mm-hmm. God has moved mightily since then. And so then I go back to Marcus and I'm like, dude, I just did it. I prayed the prayer. And he's like, he pops open his Bible. And he's like, oh, the spirit went out of this man and went into the desert. And the man, and then he came back to the man and found him swept clean and put in order. And then he went back and got his friends. And then they went and lived in the guy. And he was so much worse. And I'm like, what kind of encouragement is that? What about I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? He's like, you can't just clean yourself up. You got to fill yourself up with the spirit. And he was basically saying there's a difference between salvation and sanctification. You need to read daily. You need to pray. And I never saw Marcus again. I got baptized there, went home. Mm. I went immediately to another camp voluntarily. They had a talent show. Within 2 weeks, I'm on this talent show. I'm writing a song while having a quiet time with God. And he puts a new song in my heart, just like Psalm 40. And so I start to sing it. And the bass player of the worship team says, dude, let's do that. And I said, can you do reggae? He said, we can try. And then he looks at me and said, so you're not a Rastafarian anymore. You're a Christafarian. And it was a play on words at first. Now we know it means a group of people who choose to bear or represent the name of Jesus in Greek and Latin. But at that time, it was revolutionary. I was like, Jesus, reggae. Wait, it's peanut butter and jelly. It's peanut butter and chocolate. Yep. It's putting the two things together. Yep. And reggae is inherently spiritual. Mm-hmm. So I did that. I started Christafari 2 weeks after giving my life to Christ. That was 30 years ago last month. And I never saw Marcus again. About 20 years in, I was just like, man, I got to find this guy. I got to tell this guy what that conversation did. So I started talking to a private investigator.
No way. You were trying to find Marcus. McClure.
I was trying so
that
hard to
so
find this guy.
That is so awesome. You
I was
serious.
Trying so hard because I had to tell this guy.
Yeah.
This was my Paul that never knew that I was his Timothy. This is like
so did you know his last name?
I didn't remember it. I remembered one thing, Horizon, that he liked the box and that San Diego, and I thought maybe the church was Horizon. And so one weekend I was like, you know what, baby, we're going. we're just going to San Diego. I'm going to find this guy. So I go down to Horizon. I start walking around to staff members, and they're like, oh, Marcus, no, Marcus. Okay, yeah, Marcus. And then they point over to the guy, and he's a black guy. And I'm like, yeah, no. Definitely not that Marcus. And then I go up to the pastor's son. Is it Philip or something like that?
Philip, yeah.
Yeah, and I say, do you know a guy named Marcus? He used to, and I start explaining brown hair and this and that. And then he's like, McClure? I'm like,
no
that's
way.
It. Yeah, goosebumps again. I'm like, no way. And then he's like, he calls him, and I start talking to him, and I'm just like, just telling him all the things. You don't know what. And I'm like, what church do you go to? And he's like, I go to Greg Laurie's Orange County Harvest. I'm like, that's where I go.
No, you guys were both going to the same church?
Yes!
That is classic.
I was trying to find this guy for years.
And he was right there.
There was a time where I literally thought that he was an angel. Because I never saw him around other people.
Yeah.
I only saw him in a cabin. And he God used him in such a mighty way. And so fast forward, it turns out that... And we brought him to the StubHub when we were playing one time, and I'm like greening out at him in the green room. I'm like telling the whole band, this is the guy. And he's like, I have no idea who this guy Mark is.
He didn't remember.
And he didn't remember sharing his faith with me. And he said something that just hit me. It's like, dude, I had just given my life to Christ like 2 weeks earlier. I went up there as a drug guy. I was running from these guys
so
because the
sick.
Cops wanted to arrest me for cocaine and all this stuff. And I was he's like, I was hiding up there basically. And Bruce, who ran the camp, was like, dude, why don't you just stay? And so he wasn't even an official counselor. He was just kind of staying up there. And he's like, Mark, that was the very first time I ever shared my faith.
That is unbelievable.
And his mom still uses that story as whenever she teaches women stuff at Calvary's all around the
his
world.
His mom and dad are probably the ones that gave him that same passage. If the house isn't, you know, you clean
exactly.
it. So he's like, I'm gonna use that on
it.
Him.
And for those who don't know, his dad, Don McClure, is I guess I would say one of the pillars of the Calvary Chapel movement.
He's one of the main guys, yeah.
Yeah. He's spoken at pretty much every Calvary and
yeah, he's one of the original 12 guys, I think.
Yeah.
Dude, that is crazy. That is so dope. Okay, so then you find God, you find Marcus, he doesn't know who you are.
Yeah. Right after I gave my life to Christ, my pastor's like, do you want to share at my high school group? Yes, okay.
Okay, you're 19 at this time?
You're still just about turned 18.
Okay.
So my 18th birthday party is our first full-length concert.
Sick.
First time I play outside of my house and my church is my high school. I see 30 of my drug friends give their lives to Christ.
No way.
So I start this small group with these guys. I mean, the prodigal section. It was just hardcore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The filthy fishermen.
Yeah, yeah. And then I found this church called Sanctuary, Pastor Bob Beeman. And it was like Mohawks. I was the dreadlocks, but it was mostly heavy metal guys. Mm-hmm. Guys were coming to Christ at Striper concerts.
I was going to ask, this is like the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. The guys were coming to Christ at Striper concerts and not being accepted in with long hair and leather jackets. And so he started this church that had live drums and heavy metal guitars and stuff. And it was arguably the first in America or in the world to be that edgy and that alternative.
That's dope.
And so I go up to that guy and I said, hey, you know, do you think we could play? And he said, well, where's your music and what your demo? And I'm like, what's a demo? And, you know, so next week I come with a demo of four songs. And then we end up getting a standing ovation there. He eventually makes me a pastor, ordains me. I go to Bible college. And my pastor basically says, you got to be theologically, doctrinally sound. You got to be, you know, right with, I mean, there's so much false doctrine, even the Christian industry.
There's a lot of that that's needed in the music industry. Yeah. Have you noticed that with
discipleship
musicians?
Discipleship is the number one thing.
Musicians, they could write some amazing songs, but the theology is a lot of it's just
super whack. And so I did that. And then I had one goal,
goal. So you did it. Dope.
One aspiration. And it was to go to do the Reggae Sunsplash tour. And so this is what I would do. I went to Jamaica as a missionary, mm-hmm. and I would smuggle 600 Bibles into Jamaica with my friends, and we would go to the backstage access area, and we would look at the wristbands that you're wearing.
Yeah.
And I had paper, scissors, hole puncher, and markers. whatever the band was that they were wearing, if it was yellow, I would cut and punch holes and then make a yellow marker, and I would tape it on, and I would just kind of cruise in with an artist smuggling Bibles, and I would give Bibles out to all these artists.
My goal
was to see these artists come to Christ, and I led some of them to Christ. Junior Gong, Damian Marley, prayed the sinner's prayer with them. Pato Bonton, all these different
Pato
guys.
Pato Bonton.
But the problem was, they would stray away after because they didn't have discipleship.
That's the problem.
And they would be off on tour. So I'd be talking to them and I'm like, hey, come and stay at my house when you're in LA. But you know, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And at some time God was like, you want these artists to come to Christ? I want you to be this artist.
That's dope.
And I'm like, I can't. I'm a white guy from Southern California. You know what I mean? I'm not Jamaican. I wasn't from Kingston.
Yeah.
And so my goal was Reggae Sunsplash. If we ever did anything in our very first tour we got was Reggae Sunsplash tour.
No way.
46 cities, 53 days. It was insane. So insane that Buju Banton tried to stab me with a knife 3 times on the tour.
Pat, why?
Because of my declaration that Haile Selassie is not Jesus, but that he believed in Jesus. And his famous quote was, let us labor to lead our sisters and our brothers to our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the guy who they worship is Jesus, or the reincarnation of Christ, or God on the throne, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the guy they call the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, the guy they refer to when they say, Rastafari, was a believer. He was a friend of Billy Graham. So I basically wrote a little book on that, and that got passed around the entire tour. And then he went back to the Rastafari elders, and they said, this is it, the false prophecy.
No.
This is it, the prophecy that has been fulfilled. A false prophet would arise amongst you, and he would be a wolf in sheep's clothing.
And you were him.
I was him. So he tried to stab me with a knife 3 times. Police came. I could have gotten him arrested, gotten him put in jail. And at that time, I felt like God was saying, I'm calling you to give him the grace and forgiveness that I've given you. And he won't receive my grace and forgiveness until he sees it exemplified through you.
Wow, that is nuts.
So that was pretty hardcore.
Okay, so what year was this?
This was 1995.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember hearing that. Does it exist still?
Reggae Sunsplash? No, no. The next year, it was the last year.
Yeah, because my friends used to go to that.
Oh, yeah. Everybody used to go there if they were stoners.
Yeah, exactly. I never made it. I ended up.
And you got a tie-dye shirt, so I know you went there.
Oh, I made it to the. I used to go to the Dead concerts.
Oh, yeah.
I'd go to raves and Dead concerts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that
was kind of like the beginning. And then obviously since then, I've always preached the gospel at every single concert. That's always been my mission. But we've had 3 shifts in the band. The first one was when I essentially, we had a split and the guys said, we don't want to preach the gospel anymore. We want to do songs like UB40 that talk about him, he, you, love, but not say Christ, Lord, Jesus, Savior. And I said, that sounds like a great band, but that's not Christafari. You can't even say our name without saying Christ first.
Exactly.
So they split. And they went, at that time we were on Goatee Records. At that time we were on, distributed by Epic, Sony. And it was one of those situations, really tough situations, where I saw the entire 10-piece band get whittled down to 3. And then we built it up with all new believers within 3 days.
God was just doing that new work. He was just cutting back. He always does that, though. Like
pruning.
The pruning. He cuts it back, and then he rebuilds, and then he relaunches.
And I was just reading that. It was in Malachi 3 about the refiner's fire, the launderer's soap, about how he's just bringing it down so that the Levites could offer a pure offering to him. And so then we started building it up again, and then something else happened. I felt like God was saying something as we were flying from New Caledonia to a small island called Lifu, neither of which you've probably ever heard of, in the middle of Melanesia, probably an area you don't even know.
No.
And the last people that were killed there, missionaries were killed there, they were eaten by cannibals. It's that kind of a place. And as we were there, I felt like God saying, this is where I want you to go from here on out. These are the kinds of places I want you to emphasize on. I want you to, from here on out, go to where Hillsong won't go. Go to where Toby Mac isn't going. Go to where these artists aren't going and preach the gospel. Reggae is huge everywhere in the world.
Reggae
especially
is universal.
Outside of America.
Oh, yeah, everywhere.
Especially, you go to any market, anywhere else in the world, you see a Bob Marley and a Che Guevara shirt. You just see them.
I know.
You don't see.
It's everywhere.
I was like, okay, how are we going to do this? I want you to disband Christafari and ask everybody to come on as a missionary. And so we did that, and it was awesome. But then when it came time to actually rubber meets the road, this is the deadline. From this point on, nobody in the band's getting paid. From this point on, every show that we do is free to the public. Everything we do is intentionally to reach the greatest amount of people with the gospel. We saw people just dissipate, and then we were able to bring, again, down to three.
Yep.
We're able to build it back up. And to their argument, it was mostly over family, mostly over provision, mostly over sanity of touring. And then we were able to build it back up with guys like this guy, who came in as a missionary with the mindset of I'm ready to go to the nations. How many nations you been to now?
Probably 30.
Yeah.
That's it?
In a year and a half.
I expected more.
We recycle. We recycle.
I just chuck it.
We go to Brazil a few
times
a year.
That's insane, dude.
Africa a few, so...
That is insane. Okay, so and then you're the drummer, obviously.
Yeah, man.
So let's talk about this. So what's happening out there in the world? Like, you guys are touring. Tell me about some things that are happening on tour. What's been your experience? So you've been out in 1 year.
1 year.
One and a half.
So what's been your experience on this whole thing,
dude? Just like Mark, I'm not going to touch on my testimony too much, but it's just similar to his.
Yeah.
And
add heroin and you got the same test.
Yeah.
Got
it. And so
add heroin, got the same one. Okay.
Much, yeah. And then.
And how old are you?
24.
24. Got it.
Yeah, man. Flew out here and I'm like, I'm from Missouri.
Okay.
You know, I've always loved Christ Safari though. All the family's from Southern California. Moved out there a while ago.
Yeah.
But so I was just like, you know, my perspective was so small, but I always thought like, God, what is going on elsewhere in the world? You know, really when I gave my life to him, these things were just plaguing me. And so this has been the ship to take me to that place. And dude, it's what's going on out there is what's going on here. You know, we just got a different culture and all this stuff. You know, we speak a different language and people just need Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. I see the need for being a missionary more than I ever have in my life. This band has solidified that missions is what I need to do.
Yeah.
It's what I need to continue to share with other people, you know, and the prayers for these other countries that we haven't heard about, being up to date with what's going on in those countries. You know, what's going on in Israel? I mean, all these things, dude. We just, Jesus is needed, but Jesus is working.
Okay? Yeah.
We go to these countries, and in times of either revolution or whatever is going on, like we're going to Chile real soon.
And there's major riots and there's, going on.
Yeah, there's riots.
Riots in Chile?
We're like, right now. Major.
Why are there riots?
Over inequality of wages and stuff.
Yeah.
So like 11 have died as of the recording.
In
today.
Chile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Major riots, like Watts riots, but like for days on end.
Because I mean, I grew up going down there because my mom was raised there, and we used to go there when they were in a communist, and they would get tear gas, and they would just blast.
They're tear gas.
It was
again.
So they're like going crazy. Wow. Okay. So so you're
in
Chile.
That kind of stuff. Like we're there at pinnacle points, or we're there, and then something happens. You know, political times.
Yeah. Solomon Islands. We were just there, and the on their way there, the promoter's like, you can't come. There was one guy who's inviting us, and we're doing it all ourselves, and we get there. He's like, you can't come. Too much political unrest. I'm like, that sounds like the reason to come.
That's the exact time. Yeah.
Peace concert. I mean, Bob Marley's peace concert was what transformed Jamaica in the same way. God brings us there at these pivotal times. It's so incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. So with all of that, dude, it's encouraged me more and more that it's Christ is still what we need, but Christ is working.
I'm gonna hold that thought because we're gonna go to the break in a minute.
Let's do it.
People are all caught up in the noise, all the news and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing revival wherever we go.
Everywhere. Dude. Huge. Massive.
I tell people the fruit is literally, it's not even hanging on the tree.
It's just jumping into your arms.
You just got to pick it up actually off the ground. I mean, it's so ripe, it's just falling off the ground.
Yeah.
So we're going to come back right after break with Christ Safari, with Marcus and Mark from the band. Don't forget to go and download the Whosoever's app. You could get all the past radio shows for the last 3 years. They're free. It's all good all the time. Love you guys. Talk to you in 2 minutes. Peace.
Students today face many more distractions and problems than ever before. Drug abuse, depression, broken families, self-harm, suicide are just a few of the issues they have to overcome. A 15-year-old living today gathers as much information in one day as a 15-year-old would gather 80 years ago in 1 year. 23% of male students in high school and 37% of female students in high school struggle with depression. On our school tours, we've encountered a sense of hopelessness because of the rise of suicide, substance abuse, depression, and anxiety. The Whosoever's mission is to deliver a message of truth of the gospel to the students and empower them to realize their true purpose in life. Our Kill the Noise school tour reaches out to them with a message of hope. It's a free event we provide to the schools, which includes a speaker with an inspiring message, the Gideon's Book of Life, product giveaways, and free food. How can you partner with us? Join our monthly giving program, give a one-time donation, or purchase our products. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I love what Jesus says. The harvest is ripe, the workers are few.
More Live with Ryan Reese coming up.
Everything all right?
Sure. Call now, 1-888-564-6173. Or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I think I speak for the entire administration when I say, whoop-de-doo.
Now, back to Live with Ryan Reese.
Don't say what I warn you.
Loud noises! Yeah, and we're back, and this show is sick because we're talking about Jesus showing up in the
Amen.
Nations.
Jesus
Christ Afari, Marcus and Mark, the lead singer of the band, actually the lead singer and the drummer, are in studio right now. I want to plug your guys' albums. I like this album cover right here because this guy is getting the Holy Spirit breakthrough. I love this. This is what it's all about. Breaking it's about chains. Giving your life to Jesus and getting empowered by the Holy Spirit and living that life that you were created for. Amen. And that's exactly what you're... Your testimony was right before the break. We were talking about how you were just your missional. You've been touring around, and there's no like stories that really stood out. But you're just seeing that, you know, people are talking about all the bad things that are going on in the world. But what you're seeing is wherever you're going, people need Jesus, and there's breakthrough. And he also said something at break that I want to bring up. Is that you guys work with all different churches and all different denominations. Yeah. And you know what? That's why the whole Whosoever's movement was birthed. Whosoever. I don't major on the minors.
Yeah.
There's some doctrinal differences between a lot of the people that I work with, but no rapture, pre-trib, you know, the different views of it. I mean, there's just different things, but that doesn't matter. Like, what matters is that we unite to bring people to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about working with crazy people that are false doctrine and, you know, I'm not talking about that, just to be, so I don't end up on a blog. But what I'm talking about is, you know, when you meet with people, if they have the Holy Spirit in them and their mission is the same mission.
And if they don't, we like even when we're supposed to treat somebody at the end of Matthew 18 like a pagan or a tax collector, who did Jesus witness to? Mm-hmm. Whose house did he eat at?
Yeah.
I mean, and those people need Jesus even more.
I've done several events just for the record, like all our music festivals that we've done. Mm-hmm. I've got guys that are Christians in bands. Like there could be like the lead singer that's a Christian and no one else is Christian. Yeah. I've had the Metal Militia guys before they were Christians at our events. I had skaters that weren't Christians. I had artists doing art. I had tons of non-Christians at our events. And guess what? They all got saved.
And that's the fruit. The fruit reveals the root. And I think sometimes people want to judge this person or that person, whatever's happening with Kanye or this or that. And what I want to say is, you know what? First of all, pray for them. Second of all, be a Berean and compare what they're saying to the word. But most of all, the fruit reveals the root. Eventually, we're going to figure it out one way or another. And we can be fruit inspectors.
People get too caught up in judging too quickly.
Yeah.
And we got to understand that it's a work of the Holy Spirit and everyone's in a different place in their walk.
Yeah.
I mean, you got someone like, I mean, I don't know much what's going on with Kanye because I don't follow him, but I have seen some news things where he's gave his life to God and now he's doing these worship sessions. Awesome.
He's preaching the gospel.
He's making people, people that would never go to a church or anywhere. Now they're showing up from the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
He's going to these low-income neighborhoods, and he's preaching the gospel. And the word of God never comes back void.
Never. Even if somebody's preaching it for the wrong reason,
it will never come back void.
And what did
Jesus say? He's like, hey, if they're preaching, just leave them alone. If they're preaching the same Jesus.
Yeah. The thing that I want to encourage somebody that wants to judge that is, when was the last time you preached the gospel? And it's not a judgment. It's just an encouragement.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Before you try to shut somebody up for saying those things, maybe it's really the Holy Spirit convicting you that you should be saying those things.
This is what divides the church. People need to see the love for each other.
Yeah.
And that shows that, you know, we love Christ.
I I think one of the things that I've struggled with, I'll be frank, completely side note, but
hey, we're live on the air.
The institutionalization of the church, the corporate structure that essentially creates this environment where I feed you once a week and you make it possible so I can feed my kids and give me a salary. And it's this kind of, it's like how prisoners would eat their food, where they kind of block and keep people from getting in and keep food from going out. I think that a healthy church is a church that sends, is a sending church. A healthy Christian is a Christian that goes. Every one of the disciples, after hearing the Great Commission, knowing that it wasn't the great suggestion, took those marching orders, took it to at least one nation, and the church was growing and multiplying daily because of that. They preached the gospel. They had fellowship, but they sent also. And I think that sending and going and preaching, that's one of the things I want to encourage right now, any artist that's a Christian, is to preach the gospel. Use your platform one way or another.
But this is where the relationship gets exciting, though, because if you're just like part of the institution where you come in, you get fat off the word of God, and you're just like this
pew potato.
Yeah, you're just this couch potato just hanging out there getting fed, but you're not actually activating. Jesus gave us the Great Commission, and he gave it to us not only to build the church, but what it does is it builds your faith, and it makes your journey in Christ exciting.
And so much fuller, a life so much fuller.
Well, imagine being like, because we're like the Great Commission kind of guys, right? Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. When I'm not doing it, and I'm just chilling, doing nothing, I'm bored out of my mind, and I'm just getting like, man, I'm bored.
Twitching. You're like,
I'll
arrive. Now we book our tours way out in advance, but I would arrive and home back from a tour and within 24 hours book flights for the next one.
Yeah.
And it would be like within a few weeks. But now it's like we're just back to back. Yeah. It's exciting. It's the most exciting adventure ever to follow God.
But you could do this just to encourage. You don't have to be a band. You could do this just in your community. Yeah. Like when I wake up in the morning, I'm taking a shower and that's a quiet place because there's no kids around, right?
Yeah, of course.
Thank God. I'm just, thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for showers. You know what? I'm just like, God, today, just open a door with whoever, whenever, however. And then as I'm going through my day, I'm just looking for those opportunities. And when you just say, God, open a door, it's not like you actually have to go talk to someone.
Yeah.
Lordy, have you noticed that people just come up and start talking to you?
Yeah.
And then you're like, that's the door that God opened up.
That's it. And it's not just for platform people. People look at you and I. Yeah. We're on stage and we're, of course, preaching boldly.
But people don't know me on the streets. Like just walking up to someone.
Our manager has led 13 Uber drivers to Christ. Yeah. Yeah. Our sound guy led a weed smoker and a whiskey drinker last night.
Yeah.
At a bar as they were walking out of it, led them to Christ.
Yeah.
It's easy. You just have to ask the question. Yeah. If you don't ask the question, I think one of the things we struggle with, and I mentioned my testimony earlier, I asked a question to Marcus. I said, what's the difference between you and I? And he answered, he gave a response and showed the hope that he had within. And I love that phrase, always preach the gospel, use words when necessary. But I think sometimes we don't use the words.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just omit. Stand
up. Yeah.
And for that, you know what? Okay, I'm going to break it down. I just got to opening up the word right now.
Break it down.
This is whosoever's. So we're going to go into a passage, Psalm 40. You can't go there. Psalms is my favorite. This is my life chapter. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me. He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. My life was deep, eyeball deep in fertilizer, if you know what I mean. Yep. Out of the mud, out of the mire. He set my feet on the rock. Notice it doesn't say he kept my waist in the mud. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are mud wrestling with Jesus too, which it's just tough. It's sloppy. He set my feet on the rock. I believe that's his word. I believe that's his church. He gave me a firm place to stand. Mm-hmm. And then what does he do? What's a new song in my mouth? My mom's a painter, so paint for Jesus.
Yeah.
You're a radio guy, so do radio for Jesus. Whatever it is. And this new song that God gives you, it says a hymn of praise to our God. What we do in one way or another should glorify him. And the response to that is this. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Our lives should be so contagious as we have the Creator inside. We should be so creative that we exude that, and then that should lead people to the Creator.
Yep.
It's this incredible ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And then he forwards down. He talks about not looking at false gods and this and that, sacrifice and offering you don't desire. But then he says this, and this is my favorite. And this is Psalm 40. This is my encouragement to artists, to anybody that has any sort of platform. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is in my heart. This is what he will do. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. What he won't do, I do not seal my lips, O Lord, as you know. What he will, what he won't do. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. What he will do. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. What he won't do. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly.
That's dope.
I mean, it's like six different times he said, will, won't. And he's saying the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. So repeating it. So I'm telling these artists, use your platform. Preach the gospel. Don't wait until you're famous and then all of a sudden do an altar call. It ain't going to happen. You're going to get so comfortable. And then I tell them also, take one trip a year and go to a place that, look at your Google Analytics on YouTube, the number one nation that is the poorest that you've never been to, and go there for free. And don't build a house. Don't paint a church.
Yeah.
Do a free concert.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes. Yes.
And give the gospel.
That's sick.
But if you're going to give the gospel in Sao Paulo, you better give it in San Pedro.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I see that issue. It's so many, they want, because people want to get, you know, they want to build their platform, but they don't understand that God is the one that does it. You know, God's the one that lifts up and brings down. And if you honor him, you know it. If you honor him, I've seen in my own life, I'm just like, God, forget everything and everybody. I'm with you.
Yeah.
No matter what, no compromise. I mean, there's even situations when you're talking to someone and you know, and you're like, and you stop in your mind.
You're like,
it feels like 10 minutes, but it's only like seconds. Mm-hmm, and then you just, I'm saying it. And then all of a sudden, you get favor.
Oh,
and then favor happens because I didn't compromise. All of a sudden, there's a favor after that conversation.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I shouldn't say it. And then all of a sudden, you find out, oh, yeah, you know, I believe in God. It is. And you're like, wow. Thank God I didn't compromise.
Yeah.
But God does it, dude.
You know, we find in the Bible when he talks about offering and tithes, he's basically saying, test me, you know. I dare you.
Yeah.
I triple dog dare you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you be generous to me. You don't know how generous I'm going to be to you. And I believe that it's the same way with our life, with our faith, with our going, with our preaching. And so what we've seen is, as we decided to just crank it down, we're always preaching the gospel. We're always, you know, avoiding compromise as much as we can. But when we, like when we did our album that has the Whosoever song, everybody was trying to make money off the industry. And I was like, you know what? We're going to do a free album.
Sick.
And this was the birth of the MP3 movement. Now it doesn't sound revolutionary. Oasis was the only band in the world who would ever. Was it Oasis that did that?
I don't know.
I think it was Oasis who did that.
I wasn't even in high school.
They were.
Was it?
Is this that one? The one that, with Whosoever's on it. And it broke the internet for a minute. Kept knocking down our server. We had so many people from all over the world for the very first time getting a free album when the birth of the MP3 era. And God blessed us. And because of that, God gave us the nations. Because we were willing to give the album away, he brought us to all these places.
Amazing.
When people were saying, you know what, just omit this. Just don't say Jesus. Just don't give the altar call. We said, we doubled down. We said, no.
We're going to do it.
We won't
more,
do a show unless we can.
Yeah.
And when we did that, God's like, I'll give you a number one on the Billboard reggae charts.
That's so
five nice. Albums in a row. The last five albums. So
that's sick. It's,
and we're seeing this. When we say no to the success, we're seeing God give us that.
Yeah,
and it's incredible. So I just want to say, test God. He will taste and see the Lord is good. You know.
Yeah, I agree with you. There was a situation where some people wanted to invite us in to go into the schools, and they're like, you can't say Jesus. You can say higher power. Oh, maybe God, but you know, let's just try and stick on the higher power. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're going to give you X amount of schools. And we're like, you know what? We'll pass. And we shut down. We just decided, I told our team, I said, I'm not showing up to a school unless I could talk about Jesus and give an altar call or else don't waste my time.
Yeah.
And we just seen God. We ended up, those schools that didn't want us to talk about it, we actually ended up going to those schools.
Of course you did.
Like 2 years later, we went back and we saw the fruit of all kinds of people getting saved. We didn't compromise.
Yeah.
And it might not happen immediately that second, but hey, God knows. And he's taking tally of what's going on. He knows.
And even beyond that, where there's a will, there's a way. I believe that God gives us creative ways to massage those systems. So, for instance, we're getting on a plane in 4 days to go to Laos. We've never been there. Just got a memo from our manager saying, by the way, it's illegal to proselytize. You cannot lead people in the sinner's prayer in a public environment. So we're getting around it. Okay, so I can't have them close their eyes. Okay. I can't have them bow their heads. Okay. Eyes open for altar call. I can't have them raise their hands.
Yeah.
Okay. So we wrote a song where we take John 3:16 and John 3:17. And the chorus is, you are loved. And and basically verbatim, you know, for God so loved the world, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then verbatim, the Son of Man did not come to condemn, but, you know, came to save, essentially. And then just, we're going to use that song. We're going to keep the rhythm going at the end. And it won't be an altar call. It will be a call and response song.
I was just going to say that. Yes.
Right? You know what I mean?
So you do it song format.
Say Jesus.
Say
you are Lord. Come into my heart.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Whatever
that
I have
is
to
so
do.
Sick.
I mean, you got to get creative. When we did the Reggae Sunsplash show, you can't preach. So what is preaching? Well, when you stop the music and talk. Guys, keep jamming. We're dub it out. If they want to listen to a dub, they're going to hear a dub. But if they want to listen to the word, I'm gonna rightly divide it.
Sing it and sing it and mean it. Dude, yeah, that's so.
So
yeah,
I'm excited. But pray for us as we go, because we get those kinds of oppositions.
Yeah.
As we're trying to. We've been to 80 plus nations now. We're trying to reach all, and it's not going to be easy as we get to the 13 where. Our name is illegal. It's going to have to be Chris next line to Farai for those nations even to go.
Yeah,
it's going to be weird. Yeah. So we're trying to figure out creative ways to do this.
Dude, that is dope. Okay, well, we have like 10 minutes left. Yeah, so what are some cool stories that have been happening? Like what are some awesome miracle stuff that have been happening on these trips? What do you?
You know, I'm glad you asked that. I remember we were in Holland, and for some weird reason. You know, he was talking earlier about how our band is interdenominational, and we do a lot of stuff with different denominations. So there became a discussion during the band Bible study. Does God still do miracles like he did back then? Mm-hmm. Can he? Of course we know he can. Will he? There is a question for that. And does he? There was a question for that. And so we're kind of going through it. You know, the book of Acts, I mean, you know, somebody's shadow or somebody touches and somebody says in the name of Jesus, stand up. And they just did. And does he? What's going on with that? And so we started praying, and we just went through the word and studied it. And as we did a worship session at this camp, and then we go to this Bible study while this guy's preaching. And then the next day, I see this girl come up to me, and she starts talking to me. And I'm like, hey. And she's like, halfway through the conversation, she's like, you don't remember me, do you? I'm like, no. She's like, I talked to you yesterday. And all of a sudden, I realized when she talked to me, she was going,
you're a liar.
And I'm like, whoa, what happened? She's like,
what was wrong with her?
She was born deaf.
She was born deaf.
She could never hear. And yesterday, during our worship session,
she just got healed.
She got healed. So while the band is sitting there having a Bible study, discussing on whether God still heals today like he did before, he had just healed somebody. And we saw that. Sometimes we're backstage and somebody's like, my son is going to be deaf in 2 months. It's degenerative. The doctor says there's no hope. Will you pray for him? And the next year he's on stage dancing and he can hear perfect. And he went back to the doctor right afterwards. And I'm not saying that we're... You know, some miracle workers,
no,
but God is.
God
is.
Spirit, and anytime, shows up. Yeah.
Anytime he moves, like when we're in Nepal and we see a quadriplegic being carried up to the stage, and then all of a sudden they get set down, and then all of a sudden joints start moving, and then the person's slam dancing in the on the audience.
Dude,
I'm like,
I love it.
What
yes.
the heck? And here's this is what I want to say. This is why I brought all that up.
Yeah.
How big is your God?
Yeah, exactly.
How big is your faith? Maybe we just in America have a small faith and a small God, and because we think God doesn't work that way, he doesn't.
But we read in the Bible, so why wouldn't we think? What's the problem?
We think that that was then, this is now.
That's it.
I mean, you know, so I guess I just want to challenge you. Jesus found the smallest seed at that time, and inside that seed were all the real seeds. It was so, so minute. And he said, this faith can move that, as he pointed to a mountain. And so I guess I would encourage you to have big faith in a big God, because we've seen it as we have our new single, Waymaker, Miracle Worker. It's a cover of that, and I do a little chat on it. He is still a miracle worker.
He is.
He is still that.
I've seen it.
But if you don't believe it, he's not going to reciprocate.
Well, hey, think about Mark 16.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Mark 16, when he says, you know, go out and preach the gospel, signs and wonders will follow. And he basically, right before that, he rebukes them for under unbelief and their hardness of hearts. The disciples, they were with him. They saw everything he did for 3 years.
But the biggest miracle
is
God's provision.
Yeah.
for us, but everywhere we go.
But these guys didn't believe.
Yeah.
So the same thing. They had a hardness of hearts. They didn't believe.
Yeah.
And they saw it all. And in the same way, this is the same thing that's happening, I believe, with the church. Mm-hmm. There's just the unbelief.
Well, I think he wants us to rely entirely on him and not on others. And that's one of the reasons why when he sent his disciples out, he said, don't carry money.
Right.
Because he wanted them to believe, to trust in him and him alone, not in the money that Judas was carrying.
Right.
Or whatever. And we see that in every single trip. For years, we lived on plastic faith. We would book the flights and just trust that God would provide. And when you got 13 to 15 people traveling all over the world, it is a lot. And now we're at the place where we actually have enough support coming in to where we can book ahead.
Yeah.
With the money in the bank. We praise God for our monthly partners, which I need to give a little shout out to anybody who's supporting us on a monthly basis. It's possible we have about 100 people now that are just saying, we believe in the Great Commission.
Yep.
Your mission is the Great Commission. We will support you, even if they don't like reggae.
Yeah. It's just a heart behind.
And if you want to support us, you can go to ChristSafari.com, click on the donate button. 100% of it will go towards the covering of our flights. I mean, right now we're pretty much having to raise about $250,000 a year in order to do all of this.
You guys are traveling with a huge crew and many nations.
We're not buying first class tickets.
Yeah.
We're staying in Airbnb, in host homes, sometimes a 2-star hotel. We're not living the lap of luxury. We're working only with ministries that can receive us, ministries that Jesus didn't say go and make converts. We do concerts for converts, but he said to make disciples, and so we partner with ministries that can receive these people,
yes,
and that can help grow them, and that's crucial also.
Exactly. Yeah, dude, that is sick. And I would say go and donate to these guys, because these guys are the real deal. Because we got a couple more minutes, where can people find your music?
Well, Christ-Safari Band is our social media thing. Mm-hmm. But
social
of
media,
course,
yeah.
Spotify, Apple, anywhere.
It's all
YouTube
over.
Is really the place. Yeah.
We got a lot of cool videos.
Yeah, we started doing something a few years ago. We created our own label, and it's based out of my garage. Back when it's got a bunch of CDs, if anybody wants any frisbees or.
I know. I got a bunch of DVDs in the office.
Coasters,
DVDs and CDs. Y'all.
But yeah. We love this digital platform, and so YouTube is the big thing for us. So we release two albums a year, an original and a dub, or two originals. We've been doing that for some time. We realized our biggest platform was YouTube. We get about 14 million views a year on that. It's growing each year, but that means that we're reaching more people there than anywhere else. So we try and give the gospel in those songs. We do songs that only point towards Jesus, and we release one music video each month. So as we're traveling, we get all these incredible places we can film.
Amazing.
We're just in Oahu filming Waymaker.
Sick.
Now we're going to go to Asia, Thailand, Vietnam, you know, filming who knows what next at any cost, I think. So we get creative. So watch our videos on YouTube. It's at Christ-Safari Band. And we just appreciate your support, your encouragement. And I just want to encourage you, don't look at what we're doing and say, that's great. Do it yourself. People look at us and say, wow, it's revolutionary. What's revolutionary? That I'm going to another nation? Every disciple did that. What's revolutionary? That I'm preaching the gospel? Every disciple did that. Yeah. Aren't we called to be little, you know, Christ followers? I mean,
all you're doing is what Christ told us to do.
It shouldn't be revolutionary. It frustrates me when people say that.
I can't do that.
but I understand some people unable to go, and we appreciate it when you in turn help send you to do Kill the Noise tours.
Right.
Dude, what you're doing, you and I, when we do lunch sometime, we'll be able to share stories back to back, and that'll be better than this conversation, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have so much in common. In platform evangelism, in sharing our testimony of drug past and of God healing and reconciling us with him, and using our platform now to reconcile others with him.
Well, I just was with David Rosales, and he said that he wanted to get you guys and me together for an event at his church.
Let's do it.
So
let's do whosoever with the whosoever's.
Whosoever. We'll be there. Well, this time we'll show up.
All right.
Dude, so,
I don't mean that. I mean let's do an event. Let's do something. I would love to have you on stage at some of our. I would love to see you in Papua New Guinea. Your mind would be blown.
Where is that?
Last country in the world to receive the gospel. Where? Melanesia, right off of Australia. I would love to see
what part of Australia, like Brisbane, like right.
So between Samoa.
Yeah, I know Samoa.
It's like Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, so Papua New Guinea. That whole area, ripe, man.
Really
ripe. Any place you go where their parents are Christians, it's a Christian nation,
right?
But nobody's given an altar call.
No,
it's the easiest. The fruit's falling off the trees.
When are you guys going there?
We go each year. I'm not sure when we're going next year. I think October. But, yeah.
I'm supposed to be in Australia.
Dude, go to Italy with us, man. We're doing Italy.
After the show, we'll talk. Okay. So, anyway. Okay. Go download all Christafari's music. Get the app.
Join our email list at Christafari.com. Yeah, Christafari.com is the hub right there. And subscribe to our YouTube channel and turn on those notifications.
Please, and watch those videos because they're banging. Get the Whosoever's app. Pray for us. We're going to the schools. Get the free content that's online. And yeah, man, dope stuff. Actually, I want to talk to you about videos after because maybe we could throw a dope one of your videos on our app.
That'd be great.
So, all right. We love you guys. Hey, thank you, Marcus.
Thanks
Young
so much.
Buck, yes, that's sick.
As you leave
I wish
your
I was
door,
doing ministry when I was amen. Your age.
As you leave your door, you're entering the mission field.
Yep, you don't have to wait for some big call.
Go there for.
All right, we love you guys, and we'll be talking to you guys next week. Next week, we're going to have a sick show, so peace.
This has been Live with Ryan Reese. To connect or find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for Live with Ryan Reese.
I found myself on a ledge, three stories high at some condominiums, contemplating my life and struggling to understand my purpose. Have you ever found yourself on the ledge? My name is Billy Ant. I'm a caring father, mentor, and friend. In my new podcast, Billy and the Goat, I share the life-changing events that shaped who I am today to remind you that no matter how far you've fallen, God can help you get up and thrive. Listen now at lifeaudio.com.